shoulders, link arms, reach out, just like the people who rescued that little girl reached out to grab her hand, and find our common cause. We are many, they are few.
And we have to, and we must do that as well. Again, merchantsofdeath.org. Kathy, it's always a joy to speak with you, even though the topics of our conversations are so grim. I look forward to our next conversation. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Chris. We always feel accompanied by your good journalism. Thank you very much.
And I want everyone else to stay tuned, because what I'm going to do now, I'm going to play some people speaking at these events in Victoria, these Gaza solidarity events that have been going on these past 5 weeks and more. Thanks again, Kathy.
Thank you.
Well, I gotta think that we're not alone.
I'm sitting in my house watching all this happen, and I've arrived to a point where I just can't keep my mouth shut anymore.
Guerrilla Radio, you're not alone.
Coalition superiority was overwhelming, but the airmen were running out of targets.
Late in January, we came to the lower part of the list. It wasn't high priority, the bunker in the Al-Fridis area of Baghdad.
This was a two-weapon salvo. This is not a video game.
You could see where the blast would fire would be when they were pulling bodies out.
The bunker was a public air raid shelter.
On top of the water, there was about an inch of scum, a flesh, of boiled flesh, of burnt flesh.
The bunker that was attacked last night was a military target.
I knew my wife. I'm right to live in. Is that fair? Nobody says something from this mascot.
When the missile fell in the upper floor, because of the pressure of the bombing, the people had no way to go out. Two cold water containers as well as two boilers exploded. As in the upper floor, people were burned to death. Here in the lower floor, people died in very high degree of boiling water. Here you can see the water level which flooded the lower floor. On the walls, you can see the remains of hair, of human flesh, and some parts of the body.
Did that incident have any effect on the conduct of the war?
At the risk of sounding heartless, no.
November 19th, down here at the legislature yet again in Victoria, gathering in solidarity with Gaza. This is the sixth week in a row that Victorians have come out. The numbers are a little sparse today, but generally that's the pattern where people show up later. Right about now, there's 50 or 60 people wandering about. It's a lovely, cool, and clear day. In the distance, the bagpipes play for the few tourists that remain. There's the local Gaza community and Arab community are generally running the show, and they've set up a PA system in front of the steps at the main portico of the legislature, and we'll listen into what they have to say this week.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Justin Trudeau, you can't hide!
Justin Trudeau, you can't hide!
You're committing genocide!
You're committing genocide!
Cease fire now!
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now!
Thank you.
Ceasefire now!
Salaamu Alaikum, peace be upon you all. Thank you all for joining us today. Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge and respect the Lekwungen, Songhees, and Esquimalt peoples on whose territories we stand, and the Lekwungen and Wissanis peoples whose historical relationships with the land continue to this day.
Activists and advocates, to those who are new here, welcome to our unwavering pursuit of justice, peace, and humanity for the people of Palestine. And to those returning, I welcome you back with gratitude for your enduring commitment. Your presence here, each and every one of you, is commendable, and it fuels the heart of our collective cause.
Volunteers are actively engaging in several initiatives to promote justice and peace in Palestine. If you're passionate, we welcome you to join one of these following initiatives. We have the weekly protest that we do here at Sunday, 1 o'clock, every Sunday until we get a ceasefire. Make sure you always show up to these. Never think, I'm only one person, what does it matter? One person adds up to 10, adds up to 100, adds up to thousands. So you're showing up here counts. You can also sign petitions. There are people walking around with signs like the one over there, like the one over here, with petitions. One of them ends on the 23rd and one of them ends on December 9th. They are calling for a ceasefire and calling for Israel to be held accountable for its war crimes. Make sure you sign them. And when you sign them, it sends you an email to verify. If you don't check your email, you won't. The signature won't count. So make sure you check your email after you sign.
For over five consecutive weeks, we've stood united demanding a ceasefire and an end to the siege that has dehumanized the Palestinians, stripping them from their fundamental rights to water, fuel, and electricity. Restriction is nothing new to the Palestinians as they have endured a 16-year blockade. Yet, severing the necessities such as water, fuel, and electricity has left them vulnerable to the approaching winter season. Given the widespread homelessness resulting from the relentless bombing, it is evident that the current situation is unfavorable for the Palestinians. So as we stand here, we will force our collective resilience to remain unyielding as we persist in raising our voices for the rights and dignity of the people of Palestine.
We continue to demand an immediate and complete ceasefire, opening humanitarian corridors, saving the children of Gaza, putting a complete stop to the genocide, holding Israel accountable for its war crimes, for Canada to pull its ambassador from Israel, and we demand a weapons embargo on the terrorist state, and we want to ban all Israeli imports that originate from the illegally occupied territories. And again, asking for a ceasefire is the bare minimum. Our demands extend beyond that. We are calling for immediate action to halt the atrocities and hold those responsible accountable.
On that note, I'd like to welcome our first speaker. Our first speaker is a Palestinian brother. His name is Mohammed Hattab.
Thank you. Thank you for each and every one of you for standing here today to be the voice for those silenced by the barbaric atrocities and genocide in Gaza. Over the past 6 weeks alone, the Israeli occupation forces have perpetrated over 1,270 massacres and killed more than 12,000 innocent civilians. 70% of them are women and children. These are not just numbers. They are human beings with dreams just like you and me. And yet, Justin Trudeau has not called for a ceasefire. Can you believe this? Well, let me remind you, Mr. Prime Minister, let me remind you that yesterday marked the first anniversary for a promise and a commitment made by over 80 countries including the US, the UK, and Canada, to protect civilians from the humanitarian consequences of explosive weapons in populated areas. So my question to you, Mr. Prime Minister, is what have you done so far to protect children in Gaza, one of the most densely populated areas on Earth? Why haven't you already, why haven't you yet demanded a ceasefire? If that is not cowardness, hypocrisy, and double standard, then please tell us what it is. Did you know, Mr. Prime Minister, that the Israeli occupation forces have dropped over 25,000 tons of explosives on Gaza in less than 4 weeks? That's the equivalent to 2 nuclear bombs. Did you know that right now in Gaza, there are over 30,000 innocent civilians injured? 70% of them, 75% of them are women and children. Did you know that over 3,750 innocent civilians right now are missing in Gaza under the rubble? Including 1,800 children right now under the rubble. How would you feel if you were one of those children's parents? What if I told you, Mr. Prime Minister, that the United Nations has described the current situation in Gaza as a living nightmare and a graveyard for children? A graveyard for children. Can you believe this? Did you know that the number of children killed in Gaza in less than 1 month exceeded the number of children killed in conflict zones around the world each year since 2019? Is that not enough for you to call for a ceasefire? What more are you waiting for? So far, the WHO, the World Health Organization, has verified 152 attacks on healthcare in Gaza. This is the verified number. God knows what the actual number is. The chief of the WHO said the current health system in Gaza is near collapse, with two-thirds of hospitals out of operation, with no fuel, no electricity, no clean water, and no food. Up to 200 women are giving birth in Gaza every single day in the worst imaginable conditions. Even premature babies without functioning incubators, without oxygen, without electricity, are continuing to die, according to the WHO. Just a few days ago, all ICU patients in Gaza's largest hospital, Ashifa, died because of the Israeli occupation forces' raids on the hospital. A WHO team that inspected the hospital yesterday, described it as a death zone. So far, 1.7 million people in Gaza have already been internally displaced. This is not the first time. The first expulsion took place in 1948, and the second one was in 1967. I stand before you today, not just as a speaker, but also as someone with a personal connection to the suffering in Palestine. A few decades ago, my parents' entire families, from both sides, were ethnically cleansed and forcibly expelled from their Palestinian homes at the hands of the settler colony of Israel. And now, as the third expulsion is unfolding, we cannot just watch. We cannot allow this dark history to repeat itself. So we are standing here today to demand an immediate ceasefire with opening for humanitarian corridors, for relief aid, and just life-saving supplies. This is not about politics. It's not. This is about humanity. It's about saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. The time for silence is over. The time for action is now. Stop the genocide. Stop the killing. And cease fire now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, for that talk. Shame on Trudeau and shame on any MP who is not calling for a ceasefire right now at this moment. War criminals, that's right.
How many of you right now feel cold? How many of your hands are cold? How many of us are just, you know, cold because it's cold outside right now? Right? We are safe knowing that after this protest, we're going to go home and we're going to get warmed up. Most of the people in Palestine right now, as winter is approaching, are not going to find that comfort. They're going to be stuck outside, if they're lucky, under a tent. Whether it's raining, whether it's windy, whatever the weather it is, they're going to be stuck outside in that. And our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is complicit in this genocide and in their active suffering. I want to welcome our third speaker. Her name is Maryam. She is a grade 12 student.
Imagine your water, electricity, Wi-Fi being snatched away from you. Your house is rubble. You don't even have a place to live in anymore. And you can't even go to the hospital or go to school because of the risk of being bombed at any moment. Imagine your fundamental human rights being taken away from you. Unfortunately, this is the reality Palestinians are suffering through every day right now. All of us living in Canada are so privileged to go to sleep, not worrying whether we will wake up in the morning. Palestinian parents are writing their children's names on their bodies so that they could be identified after death. Imagine how that feels as a parent doing that to your child. The suffering of Palestinians should not even be a debate. This is straight up genocide and ethnic cleansing, and the world is failing to hold Israel accountable for their war crimes. It isn't self-defense when you're going into hospitals and killing any patient that looks alive. It isn't self-defense when you're putting bombs in areas Hamas aren't even in. It isn't self-defense to kill over 13,000 Palestinians in just over a month. Shame. Shame. It is simply evil, and it needs to stop. Right. A ceasefire is needed right now to help the people of Gaza. The damaging violence against the civilians needs to stop, and there needs to be humanitarian aid sent to them. I used to drink Starbucks very often. I would have it almost every day. But when I found out Starbucks supports the violent occupation of Israel, I realized the money I'm spending for a $7 coffee is not worth contributing to the ongoing genocide of Palestinians. The people of Gaza need help more than you need a Starbucks coffee. And boycotting has been working. A few closed down in America, so we just need to keep it up and inform others around us so that they stop supporting as well. most of the world is with us now, with Palestine. Protests with large crowds are happening all over the world. But somehow, Justin Trudeau hasn't opened his eyes wide enough to the violent atrocities being committed. So we won't stop. We'll keep showing up here and until they hear our voices, finally start gaining some human decency, and until Justin Trudeau officially calls for a ceasefire to finally end the suffering of Palestinian people. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Mariam.
As we can see here, a lot of the speakers that came up today is a part of the youth, the younger generation, because we refuse to be lied to. Canada themselves had a whole entire extermination, an ethnic cleansing, a genocide of the Indigenous people on this land. And we understand and know that no one knows and understands the pain of the Palestinians other than the Palestinians themselves is the Indigenous people on this land. Those who experience this atrocious process of ethnic cleansing and a genocide themselves. And mind you, it wasn't too long ago. I know they try to trick us and tell us, oh, we did this in the past. This is an old mistake. It was very recent. The most recent residential school was not closed 100 years ago, less than 40, 30 years ago. I'd like to welcome 1996, that less than 30 years ago. That's embarrassing. Shame. Indeed, it is a shame. It is a colonial country. We live on colonial, we are settlers on this land. And unfortunately, we're told every single September, now we're going to have a Truth and Reconciliation Day. We're going to remind ourselves the mistakes that we made as we continue to have these same issues be replicated outside of this country. It is a performance. I'd like to lastly introduce our last speaker, Gina from the Indigenous community. She's going to sing us a song from her culture.
Simgigat, Sigramanak, Kankubuitsit, Nidokum, Luxleaksta, Wai, Luxail Padiki. Well, Simwitsin can't look at us. Well, so it we. Amasas Nissim. Power to Palestine. And just thank you for those words. As Indigenous people here, we're with you. We're with the Palestinian people. We're with you. We know this violent history and this violent present, and what we fight for is a future free from it. As Native people, we know that if we resisted, if we were forced to resist in the way that Palestine has been forced to resist, we would be met with the exact same fate. We know that. And even us, all of us here, we know that when we go to our homelands, and we just be on our territories, we're met with militarized resistance, just existing as a Native person. And our resistance against these colonial regimes of violence and genocide are connected. We have constellations of resistance that go back hundreds of years and go forward hundreds of years. And everyone who is here, we just talked about this at the other rally, but what brought you here, that's your compass to justice. Don't deny it. Don't deny that humanity that you feel that brought you here, the anger, the hurt, the sadness, the devastation. Don't turn away. You know, when we see these genocides taking place for our people and people around the world, we need to look at who benefits from that. There's always a cost. Living within settler colonialism and white supremacy, there's always a cost. And it is always the Indigenous people. And so for all of us living in these systems, we have to look at who is benefiting. Am I benefiting? What am I willing to give up and sacrifice?
I'm going to do that.
Okay, sorry. going to sing a song. Sorry, I started rambling. We're going to sing a song. It's called the Constitution Express Song. This song came out of the, in 1990, Trudeau, the past Trudeau, they were patriating the Constitution. And we resisted to get our rights recognized here. And so we're going to sing that song. Sorry.
People had after their ethnic cleansing was an apology from the grandchildren that lived in this country. Palestinians deserve more than an apology from Netanyahu's grandchildren. They deserve their rights and their freedoms to be. So, as we come to an end in this rally, we're going to go on our march. We just want to remind you guys that our collective goal is explicit: to heighten awareness, call for justice, and champion for the cause of peace. Let's articulate our perspectives peacefully, steering clear from confrontations. Don't talk to anyone that comes up to the protest. A sincere appreciation goes to the police and their commitment to ensuring everyone's safety. Collaborate with the law enforcement as necessary, fostering unity amongst us, and engage in peaceful chants. Always bear in mind the potency of our collective voice. Together, let's ensure that today is impactful and resonates with our solidarity. Free, free Palestine!
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 We're going to start the march now. I want you all to follow me when I start walking. Free, free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Palestine will never die.
Palestine will never die.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Palestine will never die.
Palestine will never die.
So with that, another of these rallies that have become a weekly fixture will begin to march up Government Street.
Ceasefire now!
Ceasefire now!
And as said, the Canadian government has so far not called for a ceasefire and has not criticized Israel.
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire!